This is TWiT.
Well, you know, I mentioned a little earlier we're going to talk about coax tonight. And I've got a piece here that's, well, this is not squirrel proof because I don't know if y'all will remember back, but a couple of years ago, I was not able to be on the show one night because squirrels had chewed up the coax coming in to my shack here and had no internet. But this is a piece of RG6 here with the messenger cable attached to keep the pressure off of it. And, you know, a lot of this stuff now has both a foil shield and a wire shield on it, or a braid. I wanted to talk a little bit about coax because there's some characteristics to it that we should know about. Now, you know, we can do matching and various tricks to get more uses with different types of coax. First, let's just look at what it is. Coaxial cable is exactly that. It's coaxial. On the outside there, we've got a plastic jacket, generally. After that, you've got a metallic shield, and that can be foil. It can be copper braid, aluminum braid on some cheaper television coax. It could be foil, or, you know, it could actually be a solid copper pipe. Then you've got the dielectric insulator, and in some applications, not so much for ham radio, although we could certainly use it, that dielectric insulator there will be air. And there'll just be standoffs holding the center conductor in the center there. And, you know, you'll have to keep some kind of pressure in that line, nitrogen or dry air or something, to keep the moisture out. But most of the stuff we use has some type of plastic or Teflon, some type of dielectric insulator there. And then the center conductor, of course, can be either solid or stranded cable. All depends on the application. And what determines the impedance of this cable? Well, it's basically the spacing between that center conductor and that metallic shield. For a given size of shield there, you can vary the size of that center conductor, and that will change the impedance of the cable. The characteristic impedance is also affected by the dielectric insulator there. In 1929, Bell Laboratories did a series of experiments on coaxial cable, and they found some interesting things. First, the best coaxial cable impedances, they came up with a list of three there. For high power, 30 ohms works best. For high voltage, 60 ohm cable works best. And for the lowest attenuation, 77 ohms. So that's a little variance there. Generally, they decided that for minimum attenuation, that the cable should be 76.7 ohms. However, you know, we don't really see that. What we're likely to see is a compromise. The difference between, say, 30 ohms and 77 ohms, right there in the middle, falls around 50 ohms. And that's why we use 50 ohm cables. It's a compromise for power handling versus losses in the cable. We want to transfer the maximum amount of power from our transmitter into the antenna, yet we also want to be able to receive off that same cable in two-way radio. So we're concerned about the loss that's in it for a receive signal as well, because that's a tiny signal. So for receive and low-level signal cables, most of the time you're going to find those are 75 ohms. That's what television antenna cable is of the coaxial variety. That's what most cable TV systems use, is 75 ohms. So 50 ohms was a compromise between power handling and attenuation. to work optimally, all the components in a coaxial system need to be the same impedance. They need to be matched. So if you've got a transmitter that's got a 50 ohm output, you're going to run it into a 50 ohm cable, and your antenna out on the end ought to be 50 ohms as well. If it's not, then you're going to have some reflections on your transmission line there, and you're going to have some losses. If the end of a coaxial cable is open, then it is going to act like there's infinite resistance at the end of it. If it's shorted, it's going to act like, basically it's near 0 ohms on it. And you'll get reflections in either case. However, in the case of a shorted cable, those reflections are going to be exactly the opposite polarity as those of a open cable. Now, there are some cables out there, we are generally always going to see either 50 ohms for our transmitting gear, our ham gear, or 75 ohms for television coax or satellite TV and such. You can use that 75 ohm cable with your ham gear if you make matching transformers and various types, put them on the ends there to match your gear to operate on 75 ohms. But as we learned right there, that's not the best for power handling. However, there are people doing it and doing it successfully. So 50 ohms and 75 ohms are what we're used to running across, but would you believe there's a couple other impedances that are somewhat common out there? We don't see them that much, but they've been used in the past. RG62, that's a 93-ohm coaxial cable, which I actually found some in my radio studios here recently. It wasn't used anymore. It was just run through the ceilings and couldn't really figure out what it was for. Well, turns out that RG62 cable was pretty common with mainframe computer systems back in the 70s and the early 80s. And that's actually what it was there for. It made sense after, determine that. But that's 93-ohm coax, so I couldn't do anything with it. So it's still just running through the attic and unterminated on either ends. There's another impedance of cable that I was totally unaware of. That's RG63, and that's 125-ohm coax. Why would they need 125 ohms of impedance on that? I don't know. It's used in aerospace, so maybe some rocket scientist has a good reason for 125 ohms. I just don't happen to know what it is, though. So that's just some interesting facts about coaxial cable there. There's some hams that really won't touch it. They only go with ladder line for their antenna connections. And there's good reasons for that as well, because the ladder line is basically, two parallel conductors. That's a higher impedance, typically 300 ohms or 450 on up. That kind of cable is not going to suffer as much loss with impedance mismatches at the ends of it as we will have with coax. So that's one good reason to use ladder line. It's gives us a little more flexibility there without having as much loss in it. Coax, it's got its pluses too, though, because you can run it, virtually everywhere. You don't have to worry about standing it off from metal or anything like that. Also, the shielding kind of helps keep out interfering signals. So, coax is considered an unbalanced cable. Ladder line would be considered a balanced cable. So they both, you can't interchange one with the other without doing some special matching there, but it is possible. And we're going to always see coax on a VHF or UHF radios. Probably the majority of 6-meter installations, I would think, use coaxial cable. But you get down to the HF frequencies, it could be either one. You could be using coax or you could be using ladder line. just as long as you got proper matching on both ends of it there. So a little fun facts on coaxial cable there. We've covered this before, and perhaps we'll bring it up again in a little more detail, but just some interesting facts there I run across the last couple of weeks and just thought I would share them there.